Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Cara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. Hello, loves. I've been wanting to tell you the story of how I carved my man out of the universe, which I realize is a pretty dramatic thing to say. But it's true. And I'm going to tell you where that story came from. So when I met my current partner, we had been dating. We got to date for about 2 weeks. We went on like 5 dates. And then he had to leave. He was visiting in Hawaii where I lived. So we continued to get to know each other a little bit via text. And we'd had a couple of phone calls. In one of those early phone calls, he was at home and he had put the phone on speaker or maybe handed the phone over, I can't remember, to his best friend and roommate, Joe. And Joe didn't pull any punches. Joe got on the phone and was super friendly and then said to me, "So what do you think of my friend?" Like, he just put it right on the table. He was like, basically, it was like the family member who was about to ask me, "What are your intentions?" But it was so full of love and I could feel it. I could tell with that one question how much, number one, how important my answer was. Because Joe knew something that I didn't know yet, which is that my man was already a goner. He knew 100% that I was the one. So I'm sure Joe is coming from a protective place there of saying like, "Hey, my friends, like, you're this chick that my friend went on a couple dates with and was already like, that's the chick I'm marrying. That's it. That's her." So I paused because I could feel the weight of the question. And I really thought about it. And I thought, do I answer him honestly? And I thought, well, to hell with it. So I gave him the most honest answer I had, which was, I think I carved him out of the universe. And now I'll back up to tell you where that answer came from. I will say, though, that that was the right answer, it turns out. And probably because just like I could feel the importance of his question and the weight of how much it mattered, instantly I knew this is the person whose approval will matter. More so than family, more so than whatever. This is the person. I knew immediately. He knew by my answer, maybe by the tone of my voice, maybe by the weight of it, maybe by the words I said, I don't know, but he knew by my answer that I felt the same way about his friend that he had been feeling about me. So this all started maybe a year and a half earlier. So my carving him out of the universe. And I'm going to tell you this story here. I'm going to tell you just the best I can recall of the truth of this story. So this is not a how-to guide. This is not a follow these exact steps to meet your dream person, because it's different for everyone. So I had been in a beautiful relationship for about 10 years. And my partner at the time had decided, was in contemplation if he wanted to end the relationship. And during the time that he was in his quandary, which felt like purgatory, if I'm being honest, I was doing immense, immense, immense healing work, of course. It was painful and stressful. And during that time, I was, of course, hoping that I was calling our relationship into the future, but I was aware there was a possibility that wasn't going to be the case. So I was holding to what I knew that I desired. And in the end, he wound up deciding that he did want to get a divorce. And we went through the process of doing that. And during all of that time, again, I was going through this immense healing work. I was doing my inner process and with an amazing team of healers and support people, and of course, friends and family. And as I was doing all of that, I was coming back to the focus on what do I desire? And a few things were clear to me. One of those things was, I'm not out of alignment with being married. I'm good with this. Actually enjoying relationship other than this painful breakup kind of part. During that time, as I was doing my process of healing, I remember, actually, I don't remember. I found it later. After we'd been together like a year or something, I actually moved to Colorado to be with him, and I was back out in Hawaii packing up my house to sell it, and I was thoroughly sorting because you really got to pare your crap down when you're going to have to ship it 6,000 miles across an ocean. So I was sorting through old journals to see if I needed to keep some and not some. And a page fell out, like a loose page fell out of one of my journals. And the top of it, I had written, "My King, my King." And below that was almost like a list. And it said, "My King is this, and my King is this, and my King is this." And it was a full page or page and a half. And I don't remember what the practice was. I don't remember any of that. But I read this list with tears in my eyes because I knew I was with my king. I knew it. I was with this person who I'd been calling in. I knew I was writing down what I desired. I didn't know if I was going to be able to, or if life circumstance was going to let me call that through the relationship that I had been in, or if I was going to be getting it through a new person, but I knew this is what I was desiring. So while I was going through this process, my primary focus was not calling in a new partner. That certainly was there, but it wasn't my primary focus. My primary focus was let me fucking get through this. Let me survive the pain of this and let me continue to return back to love. Because that's a challenging thing to do. Going through a divorce is, I'm sure there are people that it's easy for when it's mutual. Ours was beautiful and loving and amiable and didn't require, attorneys or anything. And it was excruciatingly painful because we were sad, It was losing your best friend and your idea of the future and all that crap. Not crap, but you know what I mean. So as I was going through this, I was doing a lot of healing and I was doing a lot of theta healing and a lot of EMDR, tapping therapy. And at the end of these sessions, I would come in immense pain or grief or anger or whatever. And as we'd go through, okay, what's the current thing that hurts? Like it's this, it's this, it's this, it's the, this the levels of grief that I was in. And by the time we would work through that, the therapist or the healer and I would come to this place back in myself, back in alignment, where I would just be in such euphoria, feeling good, feeling like myself again by the end of this. And my beloved healer would ask me, "Okay, so what do you want?" And I would open my mouth and I would channel an answer. It would fall out of my face without a lot of thought, without a lot of from that place of pure alignment, no resistance, because I had just done all this healing work and I was in this amazing state. All of this would just flow out of me. And there were specific words that I heard myself use. There were specific details that I wanted. And I don't even remember them all. One of them I remember is, "This time I want him to know it before I know it. I'm sick of being the one who knows first. I'm sick of being the one who meets them and like, that's my person. And then I have to wait for them to figure it out. I want them to know first." I was very specific. And I was not in that, from that state, I was not afraid to ask for the moon because I was in such alignment, right? And that's really the key, is the state I was in when I was saying, this is what I want. And even in the period of time, the purgatory period, when I was hoping that the relationship, the previous relationship, was going to be repaired, everything that I was doing to call that relationship forward in my own visualizations or meditations or energy work, all of everything I was doing was actually putting energy into the future relationship. When I look back in hindsight, I can't say he left me because it's, I can't fucking believe that. When we were standing in it, yeah, he was the one who said, I don't want to do this anymore. But he couldn't actually understand why. Like, he really couldn't. And now when I look back, I say, I manifested him out of there. I was calling in something so powerfully that I knew I wanted without even realizing it. And the universe was like, okay, this guy's not going to be and do and get to all the things that you want. So we'll just get him out as easily and quickly and lovingly as we can, because there's someone who's ready for you. There's someone who meets all of this. There's someone who is your match, and we're bringing them in. So I say, like, I vibrated him out of my life. I don't want to freak anybody out. If you're in a relationship, don't worry. You're not going to do anything to vibrate someone out of your life. I didn't do anything. There was no action in this. There just was someone who was a better match for me. So I had gone through this whole divorce, and afterwards, you know, I was feeling in a pretty good place in myself. It was still really fresh, super, super, super crazy fresh. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try online dating. I'm not going to meet my person there. No. Because that's not a cute romantic story. I'm going to just try online dating because I need to, like, get in the saddle. You know, I need to, like, I learn what dating is like now, because there wasn't online dating when I was younger. Or maybe there, I don't know. I don't think there was. Maybe there was some, but I never used them. And I hadn't really been very on the market for a long time. And so some friends helped me make a profile, and I put it up on just one app. So I put up a profile on Bumble, and I have this great idea because I'm worried about how do I, what if I go out with someone and I don't like them? Like, what do I do? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to be one of those rude people who ghosts someone. So I come up with this great plan that I'm going to start by going out with people who are just visiting, because then if I don't like them, easy peasy, I just don't see them again during the week or whatever that they're in town. And when you live in a destination place, that's an easy thing to do. So I go on one date with a guy, and it's not great. He's a super nice guy, but it was a no. He was into some things I was very much not into, and it was an easy no. So then I was like, oh man, that was kind of that was a little bit freaky, that kind of first date that I had. So, well, there's a couple other people I've been kind of chatting with. My parents actually had flown out supposedly for my mom's 65th birthday. I was like, oh, let's celebrate and I'll get you a ticket and come out and let's go visit Kauai. And they came out, but really the reason they made the trip is because they wanted to check on me, right? Of course. They wanted to know I was okay. So we were out in Kauai. I'd had this one date, and my dad sat me down to have, like, a serious talk with me. And my dad's not big into serious talks, like, at all. So he really had to work himself up to be able to do this. He calls it the T word, and he's not joking. Like, it really is not his thing. But one night, I think my mom had gone to take a nap or something, and so he and I were sitting out and kind of looking at the view. He, like, worked up the gumption to say that he didn't want me to, I don't remember, he had really nice words for it, but basically he didn't want me to, like, waste away and become an old maid and be lonely and sad or something. My words, not his. His were really nice. Really nice. And he wanted to, he was like, maybe, you know, go maybe go to bars. Like, he didn't know how the hell do you meet people. But he was like trying. He's like, maybe you could go to bars and maybe that's how. And I was like, no, Dad, it's okay, it's okay. Don't worry. I already got on these dating apps and I already had one date, and I have another date lined up for when we get back. And he was like, what? Started me explaining to my 7-year-old dad what a dating app is. And he was like, oh, okay. So he was so relieved because he was afraid that I was just going to die in my own pain, basically, right? As he'd seen how much pain I'd been in. So this was really, really rapid. We had gone through, divorce had been final a couple of months, and my previous partner had moved out 1 month before this. So really fresh. But we'd been in the process for a year and a half. For a year and a half, I'd been deep in this healing process. So a couple days later, after this conversation with my dad, I get back to the Big Island, and I had been chatting with this guy and a couple people. I'd been chatting with a couple people, not really taking any of them very seriously. In fact, I had put out the like whatever you do on dating apps, swipe or like or something, for this person, and he had done the like thing back. And because it was on Bumble, the woman has to make the first conversation, and you've only got 24 hours, or that's how it was then. And I hesitated. I was like, man, I don't know about this guy because I don't know. And my whole rationale was my ex is a redhead and this guy's a redhead, and people are going to just look at me and be like, oh my God, she has such a type, which is not true. It's totally not true. And I'd gone over and spent a couple of days with a girlfriend, and we were looking on dating apps, and she was helping me check out scope people, and as one does. And I said, hey, what do you think about this guy? And she was like, oh my God, he's so hot. What are you waiting for? Like, obviously talk to him. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna message him. So we'd been messaging for a little while, and because I'd had that kind of real weird other first date, this time I was like, I tell you what, I'm gonna be at this bar on Saturday night with some of my friends for a silent disco. And if you want to come, you can come. Because I was a little gun shy after the first weird guy. And so he was like, sure, of course. Yep, I'll come. And in hindsight, I'm like, man, that was pretty ballsy of him, because that's kind of intimidating. Number one, people are intimidated by silent disco. It turns out I didn't know that. But I can't get many friends here to go do it with me. People are also intimidated by going to a place where it's going to be a bunch of your friends. Well, we got there. As I was driving there, he said, I was like, I'm a couple minutes behind schedule. And he was like, no problem. I'm here and I'm at the bar and you'll know me because I'm wearing an orange hat. And I said, great. I'm about 5 minutes out and you'll know me because I have orange hair. And because I had dyed my hair orange. And I don't think it had been in any of my pictures. So I walk in and he's like, oh, you really do have orange hair. We start talking and there's such an immediate connection that I proceed to ignore my friends the entire evening. And before you think I'm a dick, they were very aware that I was coming on a date and that I was going to maybe spend time talking with this guy or maybe be hanging out with all of them. So this was like pre-established, but I thought there was going to be much more like kind of talk to him a little bit and kind of dance a little bit and kind of hang out with my friends. But nope, I was so locked into this conversation with this person. And normally if there's a dance floor, you're not going to keep me off of it. But I actually danced very little that night and just spent the night talking to this person. I was so sucked in to this whole conversation with him. So we wound up going on several other dates. I'm hesitant to tell you the story of our second date because it was one of the most romantic, surprising, beautiful evenings of my life. And I'm not sure if I actually want to share all the details in this whole public place. Not, I don't mean sexual details and not that at all, but beautiful, intimate, incredible. The part that was so shocking to me is that on our second date, he was saying things and using words that were verbatim the words I had used at the end of those healing sessions when I was manifesting. And like weird words that people don't say. Because I remember running into my incredible friend healer therapist's office and being like, you're not going to believe this. I met this guy and he said this and this and this and this and this, and her jaw hit the floor because she was the only other person who had heard all those things come out of my mouth. So we went on a couple of dates and he was pretty amazing. And I was pretty like, you know, I was holding back, withholding my judgment, so to speak. I'm not going to decide anything about this guy. After we'd been on a couple dates, and I'm pretty sure later when I asked him, it was our third date that he knew that I was the one. I think he had a pretty good idea really, really early on, but he was sure by our third date. So that request of mine to not be the first one to know, I definitely got that one. But I had to fight for it. I'll tell you what I mean. So I had been kind of like sticking my fingers in my ears and going la 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 for a while. And I'd been having these nudges. I'd been hearing this nudge from my higher self, the universe, saying, this is your guy, this is your guy. Like, I've been feeling that nudge of like, he said the things he did, like we've showing you all the stuff, right? We put the words in his mouth. He's saying everything, we do like all the things. And I'm like, nope, 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 nope. I don't want to know. Not ready to know that. I don't want to, you know, this is the first guy I've really even dated post-relationship. No, 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 no. And I had told the universe specifically, I wanted to meet my person no earlier than 6 months after the breakup, but no later than a year. And I don't usually give the universe time frames, but I had figured, okay, I'm 35. If I want someday to have kids, like I don't have a bunch of time to lollygag around being single, but also I would like to go out and play the field and like it's going to be so fun. I want to go be wild and single and it's going to be great. So if you could just give me between 6 months and a year, universe, like it, beyond the 6 month part, okay, but somewhere in there, that'd be great. So I felt like, no, I've been single for a month. This is in not the plan. I didn't get to date. This can't be the guy. I can't have met him that fast. In hindsight, I look back and from the time that my previous partner had said, okay, I'm done. I don't want to be married anymore. And we had begun the process of divorce. It had been 7 months since then. We just, neither of us were dating because we were still sharing a house. And we were being respectful of each other. So I got my 6 months. I just didn't get my 6 months of being wild, crazy single. So I'm going la, 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 la with my fingers in my ears and telling like my higher self, like, I'd stop. I don't want to know this. Just, I'm scared. I'm not ready to know. And I remember one day I went into Ross and I was going to buy some outdoor throw pillows. And I kid you not, the entire store, from the moment I walked in and I walked past t-shirts and every section I walked through, everything I saw, the words on the t-shirt, the framed paintings and pictures and plaques and, I mean, everything that had writing on it said something along the lines of, our love story, the story of how we met, and then it was happily ever after. Like, we fell in love. It was all, I've never ever seen this in this store before or since. And I was walking through a store and I was like, shut up. Shut up, universe. Come on. I don't want to know. I'm not ready to know. Quit it. But it was so obvious. I started looking around the store and I was like, am I being punked? What is going on? Did everybody else notice this? It's like it's fucking Valentine's Day barfed in this store. And they were really elaborate. It wasn't, I wish I could remember them. Somewhere there's a photographs of it on my phone, actually. But they were elaborate. They weren't just like true love. It was like, we met and we fell in love so suddenly. And then we lived happily ever after. They were these like kind of elaborate stories that sort of pertained. All of these things written all over the store. And I finally stopped and I started laughing. And I got out my phone and I was like, someone has got to be in on this joke with me. Because sometimes we think the universe is subtle and it couldn't be further from the truth. It is anything but subtle. So I started taking pictures of all these things and I'm sending them to my friends and I'm like, you guys are not going to freaking believe this. Like, I'm trying to keep my head buried in the sand and this is not fucking working. Look at all this stuff that's all over the store. But I'm still in denial. So I refuse lovingly and playfully with the universe to listen. I mean, of course, how could I not listen? Fast forward to a couple of days later when I finally was like, okay, I give up. He's the one. Now I want to go back and buy every single one of those romantic things I saw. And I go into the store and they are all gone. There is not a single romantic t-shirt or print or wall hanging or fucking crochet. Nothing. Nothing. The store is empty of all of it. And it's all the same old, stuff that's always in that store. And it's only been like a couple days. And I was like, come on, universe. Come on. It only took me a couple days. I even sent out mass text messages to my friends on the mainland and was like, everyone, go into the Ross in your area and see if you can find any one of these things. And I sent all the pictures. My mom actually did try to find, she found the closest thing she could, which was like a picture frame that said like something about love at first sight. I don't know. And she bought it for me because she's the best ever. So I'm in this denial and I'm starting to figure out this is my person. I don't know how the universe is going to orchestrate any of this because I have no intention of leaving Hawaii. I don't know how the universe is going to get him to move out to Hawaii. But I'm starting to figure out like, wow, this is a really, really, really special person who really, really likes me. And I haven't felt this way in a long time. So as all of this is going down, I had called one of my best friends, Kestrel, and when she was single and wanting to meet her partner, there had been a day where I channeled her yet unknown partner, which is not a thing I knew I could do, but she insisted. And one day I'm going to have her on here to tell you the story of that because it's a freaking amazing and remarkable and hysterical story. So she had been going through really intimately, of course, this whole process with me of being in purgatory. And then finally, I finally say, oh, he decided he wants to break up. And so I'm getting a divorce. And she's crying. And she goes and tells her husband, he's like, honey, what's wrong? And she's like, Kara's getting a divorce. And he's like, it's Kara. She's going to be like married and pregnant in 6 months. Like, without a doubt, he didn't even hesitate. This guy. He was like, it's Kara, it's gonna be fine. And she was like, oh, okay, I think you're right. Well, during this process, prior to that, let me back up. I know I'm hopping all over, but it's all right. Prior to that, as I'm going through this divorce and my closest friends are watching me, struggle with immense grief and sadness and pain, I had been telling some of my close girlfriends, you can't get in my hole with me. Don't do that. I know you want to be so sad for me, but get the fuck out of my hole. Like, if I'm going to climb my way into my hole and be in my sadness, and then you climb in here with me, now I have to figure out how to get us both out of here. Don't do that. If you want to be helpful, stand at the top of my hole with my higher self, who refuses to climb down here with me. Let me have my pity party or my grief or my whatever it is, but stand at the top and hold a light. Like, I'll climb out when I'm ready. I'll find my way out. If you got a rope, throw it down, but like, don't get down here. And so I was telling them this, and she was like, damn it, really been climbing in your hole, Kara. And I'm like, I know you have, honey. She's like, I've really been doing it. I'm not going to do it anymore. So she sat down in meditation and she said, I'm going to stand at the top of Kara's hole. And in her meditation, it's not just her and my higher self who are standing at the top. No. There is what she called a golden god. She was like, Kara, this is the hottest man I've ever seen. He was amazing. We were standing at the top of your hole. I can't remember if she said he was naked or shirtless. He looked like a Greek statue. He was all radiating in gold, and they were drinking champagne together and just waiting for me to get out of the hole. And she's like, I saw your future guy. And I was like, don't tell me that because I'm still hoping that my marriage is going to work out. And she was like, maybe it was him. Maybe. I don't know. But of course, it was not. And that's why when I finally did call and I said, okay, I'm getting a divorce, we know for sure. And she was like, oh, thank goodness, because the golden god is coming. We need to get room for him. So these are the things that your intuitive friends can say to you. So when I started dating my current partner, and she was like, I'm gonna need you to get me a picture of him. And I sent a picture of her. She's like, I didn't see his face really, so I don't know if that's him. It might be. Can you get me a topless photo? And I was like, no problem. So at any rate, it was a while before I told him that we called him the Golden God. So that's the story of beating my partner. You've heard in some of the previous episodes how I keep the relationship remarkable. We did wind up, I did follow my higher self's direction, and 6 months after I, 5 months after I met him, I moved, I shifted my whole life and I moved across the country with the caveat of, okay, I'm gonna move out there, and then one day we're coming back to Hawaii. When I left the island, she told me, I release you, and don't think for a second I won't bring you back. It'll be much easier this time than it was the first time I brought you here. Which is true, because the first time was against my will. She sort of sucked me there. I'm now standing in our beautiful house that we bought with this giant belly, pregnant with our baby, and we have been together five and a half incredible years. So, anyway, I hope this was a fun story. It's fun for me to share, so thank you for listening. I really hope that some of you are going to hop in and join us for the upcoming Relationship Alchemy course. It is live right now. It's rolling, so hop in and join us as soon as you hear this. There's a lot of amazing folks in there going through the process with me of clearing away the baggage. Whether you're in a current relationship and ready to take it to a new level of love and appreciation, or maybe even just refresh an old level of that, like feel the way that you felt when you were first dating. Or maybe you're single and you're ready to call in your person. Whatever it is, we even have some people going through the course because they want to up-level family relationships that they've got. So whatever your circumstance, this is a dose of love and positive energy into your love life. So you can get all the information in the show notes. I hope you'll join us. Until next week, darlings. Thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join us for Relationship Alchemy. I teach this 7-week course live once a year, and enrollment is now open. This is not your average relationship course. This is an opportunity to get into the energetics of your love life and shift things to be the way that you dream of. If you're in a relationship and ready for a reset, ready to fall more in love, ready to call forth all that you desire from this partnership, or if you are single and ready to call in that relationship of your wildest dreams without repeating old patterns or carrying forward old baggage, join us for Relationship Alchemy. You don't have to take my word for it. Here's the way one participant described it. This will help heal your relationship without having to dig up all your shit and therapize your way through. It is soul-level healing. All you have to do is show up. So if that sounds good to you, there's a link in the show notes, or just head to the website, caraviana.com, for the details. With the deepest celebration of you and your capacity to love. We'll see you next week.